Now, so the purpose is to teach the difference between science and opinion, to teach types of deformed exist, to give types of opinions, which of course today would be different opinions from the opinions analyzed by Plato, so in some cases we still have the same one. One of the most important opinions, for instance, analyzed by Plato and shown why it is wrong, is the idea that society can be based on free agreement or free contractual relations between individuals. A problem that has, again, come to the fore in the 17th century through Hobbes and Locke and so on, and that is one of the wrong opinions which can work horrible havoc. If you're interested in these matters, read the book Two of the Republic and inform yourself why societies cannot be based on the construction of contractual relations between individuals. Very important to know. Very important. Especially for social sciences. Again, not referring to you, I always stress that. Of course you don't know much because you haven't learned much, but the real problem in the university are the faculty, not the students. The students I've always found are quite willing to learn. But it's very difficult, once they are exposed for a number of years, to that disrupt, this integrated intellectual environment, still to influence them at all. Because first of all, in order to be disrupted by such an environment, you must acquire the language of disorganization. And one of the most difficult things is to get a man who talks in ideological cliches again to learn English. Because they've never heard of such a problem, that one has to know English, or if you're French, French, and cannot express yourself in a Eurocentric cliché, because then you have lost the contact with reality. So it's very difficult. So what is the purpose of such an organization, which has resulted in the creation of ethics as a science, in the Aristotelian case, politics as a science, then in the psychology as science of passions and so on, all necessary for understanding the structural reality surrounding you. And what is now the purpose which academy or university with such an academic core possibly can have? The first is to counteract existential disorder, what today is usually called alienation, by education. That's its first one, what I refer to as the therapeutic one. And then, in a society which is beyond the period of the mythical cult society of the Greek polis that exploded in the 5th century, and in the 4th century we are already down now in the time of Plato, to the intellectual the intellectually disordered society, to serve in a society which is plagued by intellectual disorder as an instrument of cultural balance. That is, you cannot abolish the disorder in the society. The disorder in the society goes on. But you can balance the tendency to disorder and the active forces of disorder by providing at least the understanding of what rational balance is for those who are able and willing to take it. And then hopefully expect those who can take it, who will become educated, to become influential in society and do something to improve at least to a small degree the disorder in the direction of order. That is all you can expect of a university under such circumstances. I'm very cautious about such formulations because in the case of Plato, he was of the opinion that nothing could save Athens. And he was right. 10 years after his death, Athens was conquered by the Macedonians, and that was the end of Athenian independence and culture. I don't think we are yet that far in our process of disintegration, and a university still could have a function only to a large extent it does not have this function. And the principal reason is that people don't know that such a function exists and what it should be. When you get university president Berkeley president who invented the multiversity instead of the university. Yeah. Well, if you get a university president who can indulge in such punning cliches, you might say there are in philosophical matters which are at stake in such a problem. See? Functionally illiterate. They don't know what's going on. And make a mess of the institution of which they are president. Well, you had similar problems recently. There you had a president of Vanderbilt University by the name of Hurd, who was appointed by President Nixon for a committee to explain what could be done to diminish student unrest. Well, and what does he suggest? Of all the grotesque things, stop the war in Vietnam. As if that existence of such a lousy university would faintly compare in importance with an event as a war, like a war. The loss of reality. What goes on in a head who can pronounce these words? You see? There are people dying in a war, and millions of people are dependent on the outcome of that war and the process of repression and refugees and so on. And there comes the university president and says, stop the war so that we have peace on the campus. An idiot. Now, this kind of idiots operate our big universities. Don't forget. I'm quite outspoken about this matter, you see, because I have gone through these problems of the case of National Socialism in Europe, you see, and I draw the line at murder. When, for instance, we take another case of a famous university in Yale, there you have a case of some black man being sadistically murdered and dumped in a swamp, and some other black man suspect and charged with the murder and going to trial. And then you have an enormous uproar in New Haven, where Yale University is located, on the part of the presidents, the students, the faculty, that something must be done to protect people who are charged with murder from the consequences of their alleged act. You see, I'm much more careful than President Nixon. To protect. Well, there you see where that ideological procedural stuff gets you. If you put it down to reality, in terms of reality, it means that the president, the faculty, and the student body of Yale has come out as accomplices after the fact in support of sadistic murder. That's the sort of thing it is. And again, that must not be said in public. You see, the hypocrisy is fantastic in such matters. And I hope Yale, you will recognize Yale to be one of the better universities in this country. That is what you get in reality. That is the National Socialist principle. Protect the criminal, prosecute the victim. That was Hitler's principle of justice. That is advocated by the University of Yale on all levels of administration, faculty, and students. So there is no sense in mincing words, because these things are going on, and they can become very ugly in the years to come, because these people who are unusually insensitive to the reality that surrounds it, that means we're talking of administrators and some professors, and are very stupid and very ignorant, may produce in the end, or cause to happen, things of major catastrophic violence. despise stupidity and ignorance. I do not mean to say, of course, that the president of Yale really comes out in support of sadistic murder. But I state that he is unimaginative and remote from reality enough not even to be aware of what he is doing when he says such things. And that is just as bad as you did it yourself. Well, have you got that clear?